holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final hour of the show here on a Friday. Final hour of the week here on a Friday with Faxon and John on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines are open. Adams Co. Roofing text line is open. We would love for you to join the program as we continue to run through our pick'em contest during rivalry week. It's going to be intriguing to see how everything shakes out with so many heated matchups and heated rivalries on the horizon. We're just talking UGA and GT. Gave our score prediction, kind of our breakdown there. And John, like, to be honest, I don't see what the path to victory for Georgia Tech is here from an upset perspective. I think that they are vastly inferior on the lines of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I think they're vastly inferior at quarterback. I think they're vastly inferior at running back. I think they're vastly inferior at linebacker. And I think they're vastly inferior in the secondary as well. Georgia Tech's defense is my main concern. Could you tell me that Faulkner's going to be able to scheme up, you know, some plays like he did last year against UGA, and they're going to move the ball on a defense that struggles this season? Yeah, I could get behind that. My question would be, how on earth are they getting stops? Like, that's what it keeps coming back to me. I've tried to talk myself into Georgia Tech here. I'd love the chaos scenario where the ACC goes 3-1 or whatever this weekend, and you put a you blow up the SEC championship game picture, and you find a way to keep Georgia out of Atlanta. I would love to sign up for all of this. I would love a Haynes King going out on top at GT moment, and they get this big signature win over their rivals, especially when they were so close last season. How are they getting stops for a defense that has been one of the worst in P4 the last 6 weeks?
I don't think they do. I just don't see it happening. This is one of the easier picks of the week for me with backing the Georgia Bulldogs. I have a tough way. I'm with you there. I think Buster Faulkner will get his. The OC that Kirby Smart wanted for the 2025 season, you know, I think he does get his against this Georgia defense because I think the secondary is leaky for the Bulldogs. But I think Gunnar Stockton and company are going to be able to just kind of name their number. And Mike Bobo is going to put up as many points as he wants to as the actual Georgia offensive coordinator in 2025.
Yes, that is very much the case, and I like the way that you frame that as well. 654-ROAR is the number. Texter gets in and says, you think GT is going to lose, but do you think they cover the 13.5? No. I think they're going to get pillaged. 41-17 is my score prediction for today. I think it's going to get pretty ugly for Georgia Tech. Texas A&M and Texas. Texas A&M 7-5 in the contest. I picked Texas to be contrarian because I thought I was going to be like on an island. I was not expecting four other people to pick Texas with me as well. Ramona picked Texas, Nick Roby picked Texas, Morgan picked Texas, and Kwok picked Texas. Arch Manning's played really, really good football the last 6 weeks. I just have to say it, and he's starting to look like the first-round pick that he was hyped up to be in the preseason. This is a big bro, little bro thing for me. Texas is big bro. Texas A&M is little bro. Last year, I thought Texas A&M was going to be the better football team, was going to find a way to win that game, and they let me down big time because Marcel Reed and that offense got stifled to 7 points with the chance to punch their ticket to Atlanta. I think there might be a little bit of a mental blockade here. You know I love this Texas A&M team. You know I love Marcel Reed. I had him in the playoff preseason, and guess what? They're locked to be in the college football playoff regardless of whether they win or lose this game at this juncture. They're in. They're going to be playing for a national championship as far as they're going to be one of the last 12 teams in this thing at the end of the road. But do they win this game in Austin? Do they go on the road and shed a lot of these narratives? Do they find a way to, you know, just kind of get that monkey off of their back against the Texas Longhorns? I don't know if the answer to that question is yes. John, what say you as far as series history and just kind of what this rivalry has showcased us in years past?
Oh, I mean, it absolutely terrifies me in terms of the spot. I'm asking Texas A&M to do something that, I mean, we were asking for Texas A&M to go 12-0. Texas 8-4, we called them forever. Like, we're asking them to go 12-0 and completely seal the deal. But after the way that they responded at halftime against South Carolina, like, I think they can do it. I think they're mentally tough enough in which to do it. I don't feel great about it. I think both these quarterbacks, it's kind of a wash. I think both have done some good and both have done some bad. But to me, the key with taking Texas A&M in this spot, is Texas's offensive line is not as good as it was last year. And Texas A&M and that pass rush is one of the best in the country. I think they're going to live in the backfield, make things very difficult for Arch Manning. And I think Sark's going to rely on just a few too many screen games. Like, Mike Elko can sniff that out. I like A&M with some of the defensive staff to pull things off.
Texas A&M's last win over Texas came in 2010 in Austin. They won it 24-17. Texas won last year, obviously 17-7. They won in 2011 as well, 27-25. Why did these two teams not play for 13 years? Was that just the way that the SEC divisions were stacked?
No, the divisions were stacked is when Texas A&M left the league, the rivalry stopped.
That's stupid. They should have kept playing.
Yes, but we've lost Bedlam. That's one of the main reasons why everybody hates realignment is great in-state and border state rivalries get taken away.
Yeah, that is for certain. That's actually kind of jarring to me that they didn't play that game for 13 years. I'm glad we have that back. I'm glad Texas A&M's back in the SEC, or Texas is back in the SEC, rather, and I'm glad that we can kind of renew this rivalry because this is something that the sport of college football has missed, in my opinion, and I'm excited. I'm excited, and that is for sure. Texter gets in and says, I really think Manning had a shoulder issue to start the season. I don't know if it got better, but the facial expressions were there because he threw a historically bad ball. He was in pain. I agree with that, and I think Arch Manning has played vastly better football in the last 6 weeks and is starting to look like that first-round pick that he was built up to in the preseason. I think Arch has played really good football. I'm going with Texas here. I do think Texas A&M is the better football team, and I faded Texas all year, so I'm in a little bit of an uncomfortable position based off of what I have showcased throughout the course of the year in this contest. But sometimes it's better to go contrarian in the last week of the season, and that's kind of what I'm doing. Ohio State and Michigan. Ohio State 7, Michigan 5 in our contest. The 5 on Michigan, me, you, Mike Vaughn, Ben Milstead, and Ramona, everybody else on Ohio State. Are you shocked to see this many people on Ohio State to win by 10 when they haven't won in 5 years over Michigan?
I don't know how to take that. We have the person in first place and the person in last place both on the same side here. It makes me a little uncomfortable. I don't know which way to vibe with that. I took Michigan until Tom and his Buckeyes can get the win. You know, that's one of those that they have the edge on them. They have the number on them. And what, Michigan's the home team and we're getting how many points? Like close double digits? Yeah, I'm going to take Michigan there.
Yeah,
take Michigan. I think it made sense with the points.
Michigan's playing a lot better football as of late, and they're looking like one of the best teams in the country. I don't think Michigan's going to win the game outright. I will say that. I do think that this is the year where Julian Sayin's able to get the monkey off of their back, and they're able to actually finally win that rivalry matchup against the Wolverines. But with that being said, if you're giving me 9.5 points, like, yeah, I would sign up for a 27-20 game, a 20-14 game, a 20-13 game, any of those variants, which is what I'm anticipating. I'm anticipating ugly, low scoring. It's in Ann Arbor. You're getting 9.5 at home. Yeah, give me Michigan with the points there. That was a no-brainer for me. The next one in the contest was also a no-brainer for me. Walt Deptula, Mickey Plyler, and Will Clanton would object otherwise. They're on Miami minus the 6.5. The rest of the contest is on Pitt with Heinschel and Cade Bell and Pat Narduzzi trying to punch their ticket to the ACC championship game and shock the world over the Miami Hurricanes. And to be honest, it wouldn't be shocking to me. You've been calling your shot on this one since the beginning of the year. I'm right there with you. I wasn't necessarily there back in the offseason, but with the way that things have unfolded and the way that Pitt seems to be heating up at the right time, with Miami kind of fading at the right time, this feels like a perfect storm for the Panthers to pull the upset. Are we missing something here, and are we too confident in Pitt, or are they going to get the job done this weekend?
Well, any confidence in Pitt is having too much confidence in Pitt. I think we just go ahead and put that out there, that yes, we have way too much confidence in this Pitt Panthers team. But to me, it's Miami. Their backs are against the wall. This is a must-win game with the last game of the regular season. They're on the road and probably the furthest, just about as far as they've had to travel all year. It's going to be cold. I've seen Miami completely trip on their own 2 feet time and time and time again in this spot. With same coaching, and maybe even better personnel. So why do I think Carson Beck and his propensity to just throw interceptions when games are on the line and when games are important, because he's still got a little bit of Georgia Bulldog left in him. Like, yeah, no, he's going to choke on the national stage again. Mario Cristobal is going to have bad clock management again. And Heichel and this Pitt offense is going to take care of business. They're going to get the job done at home.
Yeah.
Outright.
I'm tending to think that they're going to win this football game outright as well. And John, I will say this about Miami. Does Miami get into the college football playoff with a win and a convincing one? That's my next question here, because that's the other side of the coin here is, are they going to be that last team out at number 13, or are they going to backdoor in at number 12? That seems to be the million-dollar question right now with the Hurricanes.
Who wins the ACC? Yeah, okay. I think
would
that
it be
is
Virginia, like in this hypothetical, I guess it would be like one of Virginia or Pitt, maybe,
or SMU.
Or SMU.
SMU wins there in Charlotte. Virginia wins tomorrow there in Charlotte. So those two, it's control what you can control. You go play for a conference title. I think if Virginia wins the league, no, Miami's not making the playoff. I don't see a way in which Miami makes it. I don't, because I don't see how you're not going to take the league champion, and you're going to take a team who didn't play for their conference and put him in. I just don't see it. I think Miami doesn't have a lot of room. Obviously, they only have one more data point when a few of the teams are going to have two. I just don't think Miami, by beating Pittsburgh on the road, is going to do enough for them to get them to where it doesn't matter what occurs on conference championship Saturday next week.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree.
Would you rather have a second ACC team in there, or would you rather get a fifth SEC? I think we know where the committee would like to go.
You would go with the fifth SEC, and especially like if a Vanderbilt wins hypothetically and that conversation's coming down to Vandy versus Miami, you would have to imagine that Vanderbilt gets the nod, right? Like, I would say that they probably deserve the nod over Miami. Miami's losses are the issue to me. You have a home loss to Louisville on your resume, and you have a road loss to an SMU team that has a chance to have three or four losses on their ledger by the end of the year. That's the thing here, is that Notre Dame win is carrying a lot of Miami's resume, but the quality of your losses also matters, and I think a lot of these other Big Ten and SEC peers have better losses than what Miami showcases. So there's a lot of different dynamics to unfold. Texter gets in, and I think they're right by saying they would need SEC carnage, Bama to lose, Oklahoma and Vandy to lose, something like that. Another texter that gets in and says Miami should be in over Notre Dame. I know it's going against head-to-head, but I disagree. I mean, Notre Dame is going to be ending the season on a 10-game win streak, and they have two losses by a combined 4 points, the first of which was a three-point road loss at the buzzer to Miami in their true freshman quarterback's first career start. And then they led the entire game against Texas A&M, who was still undefeated at home, and lost at the buzzer on the last play of the game. Notre Dame has lost two games by a combined 4 points. Both were on the last play of the game in walk-off buzzer-beater fashion. I hate Notre Dame just as much as anybody else. They need to be in the college football playoff, and they're a very live dog to win the national championship, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, I understand the records are the same, and I believe that head-to-head needs to be important. But head-to-head does not need to be the end-all, be-all determining factor here.
I also agree with that.
As much as I feel like that's almost like anti-American to say in a way, like you won the game, you should have the upper hand. But at this point, as we are going into the final game of the regular season where everyone will have 12 data points, that becomes, albeit a heavily weighted data point, it becomes one of 12. So, to me, I think it matters some, but I don't think it is the end-all, be-all in terms of playoff ranking.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another texter getting in and saying, so A&M was fed up with the favoritism that the Big 12 was giving Texas and the launch of the Longhorn Network, so they left. They absolutely hated Texas for the long time after they left the SEC. There was much of a reason as the rivalry game stopped until Texas jumped to the SEC. Okay, that makes sense, yeah. Thank you for giving me a little bit of background information on there. To be honest with you, I didn't know how all that kind of unfolded back in the day and why they stopped playing. Like, I just assumed that was one that got played every year, to be completely honest with you. And I wish it got played every year, and now it feels like we've got that that back in order for sure. Texter says head-to-head is the end-all, be-all in every other sport. I do understand that, but, like, I don't know. Like, I'm conflicted. I don't want this to be an anti-head-to-head slant from me. I think head-to-head matters, and it should be considered. But, like, Miami's losses are so much vastly worse than Notre Dame's losses in this scenario, and the margin of victory was so thin for Miami over Notre Dame. They also had home field advantage, and it was Notre Dame's quarterback's first career start as an 18-year-old true freshman. Like, While I do believe head-to-head matters and should be accounted for, I also think we have to take a step back and evaluate everything through the context of the situation. And Notre Dame is really freaking good, and I don't want to get away from that point.
They're both good football teams. And I'm not trying to say that one of them's like absolute trash, although I think Miami loses tomorrow. And, you know, like, I understand that head-to-head is the end-all be-all in, you know, especially in professional sports, right? Well, because we have 30 teams. We have 32 teams in professional leagues. We have 130-something teams here, and we're trying to rank 25 to field 12. Like, we're going to have to use a little bit more of the human element than we would probably like to in this situation. So I said earlier, I think it is the heaviest weighted data point, but it becomes one of 12 at the end of the day. And also, we have to acknowledge what the committee has done in the past and who they tend to show favoritism towards. Like the one university in South Bend, Indiana that got their own path to the playoff. They're the only school in the country that knows exactly what they have to do to get into the postseason every single year. 10-2 and you're in.
Yep.
It doesn't matter who the 10 wins are against. It doesn't matter who the 2 losses are to. If the committee sees a 10-2 Notre Dame, they're going to put them in.
They are.
And so that's why I have not had any surprise whatsoever since the start of these rankings that Notre Dame is getting better treatment than Miami. What we have protected leagues and non-protected leagues. We also have protected brands and non-protected brands. And I think the most protected brand in the sport is Notre Dame. Right or wrong, we've done plenty of summer shows to argue about what should Notre Dame be in a conference, should they get this, should they get that. We're not here to do that today on Rivalry Game Friday.
No, for sure not.
But when we talk about them getting favoritism over other teams, like, this is what it is. This is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so, we can argue about it until we're blue in the face, but also it's just kind of for me personally, it's an is-what-it-is situation. I know Notre Dame's going to get the benefit of the doubt, so I'm not going to make a big deal about it when they do.
Texter says, really doing some mental gymnastics to put Notre Dame in over Miami when it's easy to acknowledge the head-to-head. I mean, I get it, but, like, Notre Dame's resume is objectively better than Miami's, and that's much as not really debatable or refutable. Like, it's a better resume, and they're a hotter team that's been better as of late, and I understand that going away from head-to-head is going to breed problems for people in the audience, problems for fans at home, and guess what? In a perfect scenario where we have a college football playoff committee that's based off, because that's what a lot of people are getting in, is saying subjectivity versus objectivity. This entire thing is subjective. Like, having a committee is subjective. I would rather just blow this out NFL style and make it a 16-team playoff and get a certain amount of teams from each league and put them in from an automatic bid perspective so where you, like, know what you have to do. If you want objectivity, you need to eliminate conference championship games because that's not what you have in the NFL. And then you need to make everybody play a same schedule like you do in the NFL. You finish this place in your league, you play this division, you play this conference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You have a football league on a professional level that has an objective format, and people still find a way to complain about that. So, like, yeah, this is subjectivity. Texter 112, you're right by saying this, but that's the entire premises of the sport. Having a committee is subjective. This is opinion-based, and it is subjectively based. So do I like that? No, but I've also come to terms with what the reality of the situation looks like, which is, I think, what John is trying to display as well. Quick break here on the program.
It's that time of year again. It's time to start thinking about Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K. It's coming 2026, March the 14th. You've thought about it, maybe made a resolution or thought about maybe doing your first half marathon or 5K. Well, here's your year to do it. Sign up today. And what better way to give a present, too, if you'd like to give a stocking stuffer for the race entry? You can do that. Go to runsignup.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. 313 is a major sponsor with us, along with Henry Ramirez and all the gang at Upstate Medical Association. Our two official sponsors, and Santee Cooper is also involved. It's going to be a fun day. You can check out our website at Race for the Green at Seneca SC Events on Facebook. And if you'd like to know more information, just go to our website at seneca.sc.us. Make a resolution, make a commitment to do your first 5K or half marathon and a relay, too. You can find it all at www.seneca.sc.us. It's Race for the Green 2026, March the 14th.
You really don't need a special occasion or a special reason to shop Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall. Step inside the state-of-the-art Reed's Jewelers showroom and discover what tens of thousands have discovered. Award-winning customer service, exquisite diamonds for her, elegant Swiss watches for him, and professional expertise from the team at Reed's Jewelers. Jewelry and relationships that last a lifetime. That's Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Clemson Tigers, no pride. We feel it under the lights when our players charge down the hill. And every note of Tiger Rag. On Solid Orange Fridays and in the tracks of our Tiger Paws. The Clemson Jackpot is one more way to keep that pride alive. Every $5 scratch-off funds education, helping future Tigers carry on our traditions. And now it's easier to play by paying with a debit card at participating retailers. The South Carolina Education Lottery, supporting Tigers, students, and you. See the Players Club app or seeducationlottery.com for game odds and more information.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today and let's build dreams together.
At Ben Mason Insurance, we don't just provide insurance, we offer peace of mind to our upstate community. Whether it's auto insurance, home insurance, or life insurance, we're dedicated to safeguarding what matters most. Located at 188 Blaylock Road, Boiling Springs, we're here and ready to serve you. Call us today, 864-578-7100, and let us tailor a policy that fits your needs. Ben Mason Insurance, your trusted partner in protection.
For Christmas, treat her to a special day of relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's best spa 13 years in a row. The Lilia Day Spa staff can restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. Select from the one-day or many holiday packages. Lilia Day Spa can create something special for her. A gift certificate is ideal for Christmas and shows her you care. 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa 13 years in a row.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. You'll find exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 50% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for Clemson men's and women's basketball. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines at Adams Co. Roofing text line will remain open throughout the course of the program. We're going to hop right back into our pick 'em discourse. Texter says, no, it's not on the pick list, but who do you like between Wake and Duke tomorrow? That's a tough one. That's a tough one for me. I think it's going to be a competitive football game. I'll put it that way. Wake's playing to get to 9-3. Duke's playing to get to, what, 8-4, 7-5, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I probably lean Wake Forest because of the way that that defense has played this year, but Duke has the better quarterback by, like, a landslide, so they're going to have the best player on the field. I think Wake Forest has a better team. I think Duke has the best player. That's the way that I'd put it. I think that Dickert's done a really good job from a motivational standpoint this year, so I'll go Wake Forest to go 9-3. Screw it. Why not? Let's go with Wake.
I'm in another league outside of the station. I'm like in a pick'em league. We pick 10 games a week. Duke Wake was in that contest. I took the Duke Blue Devils in that one. Your logic is exactly what I use there. I think Wake is the better football team, but give me the better quarterback at home against Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, I mean, it is Robbie Ashford.
Or Purdy, or whoever it is.
Yeah, no, they both stink, if we're being honest. Let's get to Jason and Columbus. The fact that Jake Dickert has won 8 games with Robbie Ashford and DeShone Purdy is one of the best coaching jobs I've ever seen, because they are awful. If this team had Mensa, Wake Forest is 11-0 right now and going to the college football playoff. I'm not trolling.
No,
like, I'm being dead serious. If they have Mensa instead of Ashford and Purdy, this team's going to the college football playoff.
But that's the big difference in money between Winston-Salem and Durham, North Carolina. All right, let's head to the phone lines. We got Jason in Columbia. Jason, appreciate you checking in with us this morning. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did. Hope you guys did as well. You know, it's funny when you guys mentioned Ashford. You know, one of my best friends who's a Gamecock, when the season began, I mean, it seems like 10 years ago, excuse me, he was actually considering, since they, you know, had that Sunday game against Virginia Tech, he's like, you know, I might drive to Wake Forest, and because, you know, I think Robbie Ashford's going to have a really good season, and obviously he was their backup last year. And then he watched, like, the first half of that game, was like, I'm glad I didn't drive to Wake Forest. But it is amazing, even with Robbie Ashford in the mix. That, I mean, I just was like, that hit me upside the head when you said they're playing for 9-3, because I remember Faxon being a Wake Forest truther all offseason. And man, you hit on that one. That's an amazing pull for you, Fax.
Yeah, their defense is incredible, and I really just believed in the line of scrimmage play, and then I believe in Dickert. Again, if I had one of these big jobs and I was an athletic director, I would be looking at people that have gone to multiple places and had instant success. Jake Dickert has now gone to multiple different places that were looked at as dead-end jobs, being Washington State and Wake Forest, and he's won 8 games immediately with both of those schools. Again, I'm not an athletic director. I'm just a radio show host. But if I had a big-time job, I would be having that guy on my radar here for these next couple of cycles, because we live in an instant success and gratification world in college football in 2025, and that guy is getting you results immediately, even at a school like Wake Forest with a garbage quarterback. Imagine what he could do with some actual resources and a real player at QB. It would be interesting to see. But, yeah, Wake has definitely lived up to those expectations that I set on him in the preseason, and I'm really happy for Coach Dickert. He's a great dude, and he's a great coach.
Yeah, you know, looking forward to the big game this weekend. You know, what a strange position we find ourselves in. You know, I had a lot more respect for South Carolina's team last year based on their defense and the way their offense was humming with Sanders in the backfield in tandem with the way that Sellers was playing the back half of the season. It's so strange to me that I have so little conviction going into this game, guys. I just feel like this is, at its heart, two very not good teams playing against each other, and it is about who can make the less fewer self-inflicted mistakes here. I know there's been some talk that, well, South Carolina's looked better since Furry took over. You know, I'm just going to remind everyone, Coastal Carolina is 130th in the nation in total defense, okay? So I don't put any stock into that. That's just like Clemson being up 31-0 on Furman with 7 minutes to go in the first half when we pulled our starters, right? But at the same time, I think if I'm being honest with myself, if you flipped it and you told me that South Carolina basically lost 4 starter-level players in the last 2 weeks, right? And let's take Nick Harbor off the field since we don't have Wesco. I would be like, man, if you've got 2 somewhat evenly matched teams, it's going to be hard for me to pull or to say that that team's going to win. So going into this game, and maybe that makes me sound like a homer, I think it's a legitimate concern. My biggest concern, guys, is just the fact that we have lost the 2 offensive linemen, our best blocking tight end, Lawson, who, I mean, you can make the argument he's second among defensive linemen in tackles for loss and sacks this season. So, I mean, he has the numbers. And then obviously playing without Wesco. That's my major concern. You know, Faxon, I brought up to you the specter of the 2023 game, and we've talked about that. how Clemson, you know, they had an NFL quarterback, Spencer Rattler, there, but Clemson's defensive line overwhelmed their suspect offensive line and just sat on the ball. I feel like maybe you're going to see that from both sides, man. So then it does come down to special teams, which Clemson, other than the Duke kickoff return, has been very good at special teams this year. And if it comes down to a late kick, I got a lot more trust in Hoosier than they do in their guy. And so to be honest with you guys, I just have so much little conviction going in this game. But the fact that Clemson took those injuries here late in the season is giving me pause as far as being able to pick us. I mean, do you think that's a legitimate approach here?
Yeah, to an extent, I think it's a legitimate approach. I mean, again, I think my take on it was I don't necessarily know how either side of the fan base can be overly confident based on what their team has showcased them throughout the course of the season. And I tend to think it's going to be a 2023-esque game that's very ugly, low scoring, and close. And whoever wins the turnover margin or makes the big time plays at the crucial junctures as far as field position or making a defensive score or making a big special teams play ultimately is going to come away with the victory of the game. But I think a lot of your commentary is truthful and fair, Jason, on the Clemson and South Carolina game.
Yeah, and the one difference, obviously, with the 2023 game is we had that Shipley as lead back, Moffa second back. We were able to lean on that rushing attack and let them grind up some clock there, especially in the second half. You know, it's not like we were gashing them, but they both wound up with pretty respectable run totals, and we were able to just kind of run the clock and keep it moving. You know, unfortunately, we have seen too many instances this season where it's like, okay, let's get the Clemson four-minute offense out there and run some clock. And then at Louisville, we wound up with the ball like three times in 4 minutes because they kept missing kicks. So we haven't really been able to do that. And so that's I worry about that. But I don't know, listening to you, and as I said, if this thing comes down to a kick late and it's a close game, I have a lot more faith in Hoosier than South Carolina fans have in their guy. So screw it. Let's go with Clemson. Walk-off field goal. It's going to be like 2007 Mark Buchholz all over again. We'll have the clips of Todd Ellis making the call that will circulate social media. So give me a Nolan Hoosier. If you remember last year in Charlotte, on the Skycam before he made his final kick, you could actually hear Dabo go, "Hoosier." And he turns his head and he said, I can't say on the radio, but he said, "Kick that thing through," or he said, "Knock that thing through." So let's get Dabo saying, "Knock that thing through" again, and let's get Nolan Hoosier with a walk-off field goal to send the Chicken fans home to their normal place, home for the holidays.
I mean, if you want to sign me up for a Nolan Hoosier walk-off field goal in Columbia tomorrow, I'm not going to be the one to rain on your parade, Jason. I think the game's going to be decided by a field goal. So, yeah, like I'm going to be picking the Tigers to win the football game by a score of 20-17. I said that a little bit earlier. And if that's in walk-off fashion, to be completely honest with you, I'd prefer not because I would like to keep my stress levels down. And I would like for it to be 20-0 and South Carolina maybe stat pads their way back into it. And I could keep the blood pressure down. You know, had a lot of food yesterday on Thanksgiving, had a lot of great food here today at Chick-fil-A in Clemson. I would like to keep my health in order. But, yeah, you know, if that's what it takes for the Tigers to get the job done, I'll sign up for that.
You know what? And I feel like, hey, I'm allowed a homer pick after the way this season has gone. I mean, if I can't make a homer pick here on the final regular season game of the year, I mean, when can I? So let's do it. Let's get Nolan Hoosier in the zone and have a good time down there in Columbia. And I will point out, guys, Cryin' Chain is 500 over the last 5 years at Williams-Brice against Power 5 opponents. And obviously Clemson has only lost there five times in the last 45 years. So nobody cares about playing at Willie B. That's nothing. But so hopefully these guys get it done and give us something to cheer about here.
Jason, you are always funny and consistent with the Cryin' Chain jabs and with the South Carolina hatred. Let's hope for everybody's sake that this weekend goes the way that we're hoping it goes, brother.
Yeah, you know what? Just like last year, if it doesn't, I'll call back in and congratulate Gamecock James and some of the guys, Trucker James. But hopefully I don't have to eat my crow. Hopefully I'll be eating chicken.
Yeah, I mean, I picked us to win 31-13 last year, so we all had a rough Monday show after the loss to South Carolina. And that again, Wesco would still be running if Cade could have hit a slant. Jason in Columbia, thank you for tuning into the program, and let's hope this weekend goes well. Oh, also, Jason, before I let you go, is he still here, John?
Yeah.
You guys are losing to the Cleveland Browns this weekend. You know this, right?
Man, I'm worried about Brock versus that defense. I got to be honest, and it might be in a blizzard, but maybe we get Iowa State, you know, playing in the Midwest muck there from Brock, and I don't know, but I am very concerned because, dude, Brock's not healthy. I mean, he's not healthy, and they're talking in San Francisco, is a 75% Brock Purdy better than, you know, a 100% Mac? Maybe it's time to just shut it down and let Brock get surgery and sit this one out because we're not going to win the Super Bowl either way, so.
I will say this. I have some numbers for you to send you, and it's not going to make you feel any better. I'm sorry to send you out on such a negative demeanor. Kyle Shanahan has coached in 9 games against Jim Schwartz as a head coach and offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
His teams are 1-8. His offenses have averaged 15.7 points per game in those games. So if you needed to feel any better about Sunday, sorry.
You know, as Rick Pitino once said, all the negativity in this town sucks. Thanks, guys.
I love that quote, Jason. Appreciate you checking in. 654 Roar is the number, and yeah, I do think it might be perfect timing this weekend for Shadur, and he might improve to 2-0 as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. I just think Jim Schwartz is such a brilliant coordinator, John. I love watching him coach, and I'm also a Brock Purdy hater, and I've been on the record by saying that. So I'm going to hope that he throws 3 more picks this upcoming weekend. Sorry, Jason. No offense. You know we love you. All right, quick break here on the program. We got a ton of picks to get to from a rivalry standpoint. We've got games on the television today, including my Philadelphia Eagles. We got to give our final score predictions for Clemson and South Carolina, all of that and more. And during the break, I want everybody to flood the text line with their score predictions. 654-ROAR is the number. Clemson, South Carolina, tomorrow, noon. It's just about 24 hours from right now. Get in with your score prediction at 654-ROAR.
Clemson, South Carolina, a tale as old as time. And we'll get you ready for kickoff right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, starting at 6 a.m. with the Ingles Tiger pregame show. We'll have everything you need to get you ready for kickoff. Then the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon and his crew will take over at 9. Don, Tim, and Reg, you'll have the call from enemy territory. And Dono Clark and I will wrap it up with the fifth quarter show. Finish up the 2025 college football season with us right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
It's time to discover the convenience and time savings of contact-free pickup with Ingles Curbside. Just visit shop.ingles-markets.com or download the app, and your Ingles personal shopper gets to work with specialized training on how to select the freshest items for a pre-scheduled pickup. They'll even text you with updates. You pull up to a designated space, and your personal shopper delivers your items right to your vehicle. Fresh, fast, and affordable. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Have you heard the phrase, the calm before the storm? Well, that mold in your bathroom or ceiling stains might be a warning sign of roof damage that could cause bigger, costly issues in the future. Give yourself peace of mind knowing your roof's got you covered with the best protection throughout all of the seasons. Don't ignore it any longer. Fix it with one simple call today. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialists, 260-0080. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialist, 260-0080.
When making decisions, it's important to take a long view and consider how our choices will affect us for generations to come. Longview, Carolina is a gated community that emphasizes that long view with on-site gardens, miles of trails, mature forests, open meadows, and gathering spaces with 50-mile views, all designed to spark true community. Go to contact@longviewcarolina.com to schedule your private tour today. Longview, Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
At AAMCO Greenville, we know the true value of expert car care. From transmission repairs to brake services, our locally owned shop provides comprehensive solutions for all your automotive needs. Whether it's advanced diagnostics or routine maintenance, we've got you covered. Conveniently located at 411 Malden Road, we're proud to serve Greenville and surrounding areas. Hablamos Español. For trusted service, call AAMCO today and experience the difference in quality and care.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to 4-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
The Club Car Onward Golf Cart is now available at Golf Cart Service in Spartanburg. This cart has the history of having superior design and performance compared to regular carts. These are the carts used at resorts, RV parks, beaches, and golf course neighborhoods. Dream up your cart design and let Golf Cart Service build it for you. Golf Cart Service is your authorized club car dealer in the upstate where you can get an Onward cart today. Visit our website, golfcartsc.com, to learn more, or visit us at 699 Southport Road. Get your Club Car Onward today and really enjoy life.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie. With unanimous five-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at collegiatelegacydesigns.com. That's collegiatelegacydesigns.com.
If you think Taco Bell is only for late night, you are mistaken. Taco Bell is also for daytime, which is why it's introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu. With new Cantina Chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla. And new ingredients like seasoned slow-roasted chicken, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded purple cabbage, and even a new avocado verde salsa packet. It's the Taco Bell for when it's not late night.
Whoa, not just late night. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu now. At participating U.S. Taco Bell locations while supplies last. Contact store for participation with spares.
Poor indoor air quality can significantly decrease your quality of life through experiencing sinus infections, allergies, respiratory issues, and headaches. An easy-to-install device called UV PhotoMax uses purifying blue light to zap bacteria, mold, and viruses before they enter your home's air vents. Purify the air your family breathes and help protect them from mold, bacteria, and viruses with the UV PhotoMax from Estes Heating and Air. Serving Oconee, Pickens, Greenville, and surrounding areas. Visit ESTESHeatingAir.com today for more information.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and managed construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day. Kick it!
Final segment of the show with Fax and Childress and John Hite here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. John, before we go around the horn, let's close out our pick 'em contest for the final time this year live from the Chick-fil-A in Clemson. Starting with LSU, who is at Oklahoma. It is 7-5 Oklahoma in the contest. I'm one of the five on LSU. Alongside Will, Morgan, Kwok, and Walt. Any commentary on this one or thoughts on this one? To be honest with you, I'm not super excited for this game, and I'm really rooting against my pick and hoping that Brent Venables just puts his foot down, punches his ticket to the college football playoff. But I can't help but get out of my mind like the low-scoring battles that he's been in, sure, which is why I took LSU with the points.
Boomer Sooner, I took Oklahoma. I think they get it done.
I like that. Tennessee, 8-4 in the contest. You're one of the four on Vanderbilt. I'm going to be rooting for Pavia and the boys this weekend. I did pick Tennessee.
Went with Vanderbilt here. If you missed it earlier in the show, right before we got started, Clark Lee got a nice new 6-year contract extension from Vanderbilt this morning going into this game. I think Vanderbilt just sees this as the perfect cherry on top to the end of the ride of Diego Pavia and company. I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee has been a very consistent, stable program this year. I give a lot of credit to Josh Heupel and the way that he has been able to manufacture a very good offense with Joey Aguilar this year. Much better than I thought it was going to go in the preseason. So, you know, give him credit there. But I think Vanderbilt brings it home this weekend.
I think Vanderbilt has a clear path to winning this game. If they can establish the run early and they can get up in front with a lead, then I think that that defense could force some turnovers. Aguilar has been good. He does put the ball in jeopardy. Vandy wins the turnover margin. Vandy's going to the college football playoff.
I think there is a strong chance, and Pavi is throwing it better as of late.
He is. He's been playing good football as of late. That's a good point. John, next game in the contest is Alabama at Auburn. We're on opposite sides of this one, and it's split right down in the middle in the contest. I think Auburn is going to win. I said this last week. I think Auburn finds a way to salvage this season with your classic Iron Bowl chaos that makes zero logical sense. Auburn's defense is really freaking good, and they've been great all year.
See, I'm torn on that front because it's funny that Auburn could win this game, that Hugh Freeze doesn't get any credit or any reason to be a part of it, but also I loathe DJ Durkin and don't think he should be allowed to be in the sport right now. However, well, you want to see things get ugly with the playoff. You want to see the carousel potentially get really, really messy. Have Auburn win tomorrow. I'm avoiding the mess. I'm avoiding the nonsense. Give me Alabama to win and cover.
I wouldn't hate that. I'd like to see Ty Simpson and Kalen DeBoer in the playoffs. Also, just partially because I like Kalen DeBoer, and I think a lot of the hot seat talk was just absolutely ludicrous. Would he be a name that you could see linked to Penn State if things do go awry? Like, if they lose, do you think he could bolt it for Happy Valley?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it was before you were born, but the 90s occurred, man. People have left Alabama before because they just don't feel like dealing with being the Alabama head football coach.
Yeah.
It's if the money's equal other places, and other places will let you have a little bit of a more of a normal quality of life than down there in Tuscaloosa, I would not be surprised if he voluntarily, emphasize voluntarily, moved on to Penn State or something like that.
Three more games in our contest. This is our final pick'em of the week before bowl season, which is sad, John. I can't lie. Mm-hmm. Oregon is a 6.5-point favorite at Washington. I took Washington because their defense is tough. I'm in the minority. It is team out of bounds and Walt Deptula with me on the Huskies. Everybody else on the Ducks. I think this is 30-27 coin flip, to be honest with you. I think Washington has a chance to get them.
I took Oregon, and this is my least confident pick of the week. I think Washington has a chance to win this thing outright and mess up the college football playoff.
To be honest, wouldn't that be the one that people are kind of overlooking? It feels like not a lot of people are talking about this game. I like your logic there where maybe everybody's going in one direction. It goes in the other direction.
Yeah.
VT's at UVA. We've talked about this extensively this week. We're terrified for Tony, but we're rooting for him. Go Hoos. I'm on Virginia Tech plus the 11.5, as are you.
Yeah, Virginia Tech plus 11.5. I've only seen, since I've been paying attention to this game, like two wins by Virginia outright. I think they win the game, but it's not going to be by double digits. That's for sure.
Texter says, would you rather see Brent in Oklahoma make it to the Natty and lose a competitive game, or would you rather see Tony in Virginia win the ACC in a playoff game and lose in the second round? Can we get a national championship of the former Clemson coordinators? Can you sign me? Can I bargain for something in the middle? Can we get an OU versus UVA for the Natty? Dabo Bowl?
If that occurred, I will say the narratives around Dabo's coaching tree would change mightily.
Yeah, that would change drastically, and that is for certain. But between those two, I would probably rather see Brent Venables get to the Natty, to be honest with you. But what Tony E has done up in Whoville, as they call it, up in Charlottesville, I mean, seriously, from the tragedy to triumph, a chance to punch their ticket. I am rooting harder as a for Virginia this weekend than I will ever root for another ACC school. Please find a way to the ACC championship game. Go, Tony. We're rooting for you. Let's take a couple phone calls before we give our Clemson and South Carolina picks.
Absolutely. First, we're going to head to the phones. We're going to get Noah in Greenville in here. Wants to talk a little Clemson, South Carolina. Noah, appreciate you getting in. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Hey, appreciate that, fellas. I'm a diehard Kentucky fan, and Clemson, South Carolina is my favorite rivalry solely because there are people in this state that want to be engineers, they want to be architects, they want to be farmers, and they'll find a way to get to South Carolina just because they hate Clemson that much. And I'm sure it happens everywhere else, but I just think that's just blasphemy. You know, I've got a cousin, same thing. He was wanting to be an electrical engineer, and he was like, I'm going to go to South Carolina. It's a better program. It's like, brother, no, it's not. But love rivalry week. But I tell you what, also, do not. Well, I love it, but I don't love it at the same time. I think Lane Kiffin is going to – I think he's going to go – unfortunately, I think he's going to go to LSU. But I think LSU is basically doing a Brian Kelly 2.0. I really do. I mean, what has Lane Kiffin provided to you that says, yes, this guy's going to come to Baton Rouge and be a winner? He's to me, he's the equivalent of what Brian Kelly was in Notre Dame, except what, maybe a few more appearances in the college football playoff and an appearance in a national championship. I just don't think that his best bet, which, I mean, I'm not him, so he can do what he wants, but I just think his best bet is to stay at Ole Miss. Maybe wait until I don't know what a better job could be other than LSU and Florida State. Florida. But, I mean, yeah, even Florida State. I mean, that's a better job, I think, than LSU. But I just think the LSU would be making a mistake hiring Lane Kiffin. And I'll take y'all's comments off the air. Appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah, thank you for checking in with the 654 Roars, the number. For what it's worth, I'm not fully in agreement with Noah there. I think Lane Kiffin is a lot better of a coach than Brian Kelly, and I also think he's, like, a vastly more likable person that has, like, a much more natural cultural progression and translation to that area than Brian Kelly faking an accent. So I don't know if I would deem that Brian Kelly 2.0, to be honest with you, John. I think there's a lot of differences between the two.
Persons, yes. They could not be more different as people.
As
results?
Yeah, resume-wise, it's similar.
Resume-wise, Brian Kelly is a better resume.
Yeah.
He just never got to be a failed coach of the Raiders. Like, Brian Kelly's a better resume than Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
He took Notre Dame to national championship game, playoff games. Yeah. Though, but I think in terms of persons, yeah, Lane Kiffin is 150,000 times more likable than Brian Kelly is. I would say 200 times more likable than Brian Kelly's son, which looked like the most obnoxious human being ever at LSU senior day last week. I don't think the Kelly family is very likable.
I don't either.
But in terms of, like, results, that's what I don't understand about this if he goes to LSU. It was the big to-do of why are we paying this type of money, why did we pay all this, and then you're going to go and reset the market and give out the largest coaching contract in the history of the sport, like, 6 weeks later. That's what I don't understand about the LSU part of it.
Yeah, there's a couple elements of it that I'm struggling to understand, to be completely candid with you, but it just kind of is what it is. That's the position that I'm electing to take on it, and we got to let the man make his decision and let things play out is what I would say. So I think there's a good chance we have an answer on Monday morning, and that's going to be something that's exciting, as well as the results of the Clemson and South Carolina game. We're in our pick'em contest, John. Clemson is a 2.5-point underdog. It is 8-4 Clemson. Mickey picks South Carolina. Will picks South Carolina. Walt picks South Carolina. And Quok picks South Carolina. Come on, Mickey. That would be – and come on, Quok. Like, that would
well,
be
Well, for Mickey, that is about as on-brand for this season as it could be.
That is true.
I mean, Mickey gave up on this team a while ago.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, a lot of his takes have aged well, so shout-out to Mickey.
I'm not saying that he's out of line. I'm just saying Mickey, what's happened.
Yeah, he has. We've been taking some grenades from
Old
him.
Old man
at
doesn't know ball,
season.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, shout-out to Mickey. And I will say this on the front of the Pick'em contest. I do think there's more strategy here than just, like, being honest. And what I mean by that is it's the last week of the season and people are trying to win the contest. So you're going to go contrarian like I did on a couple of picks to try and get some upward mobility. I do understand that. I think it's hard to have confidence either way. I'm picking Clemson to win the game 20-17. I think that the Tigers are in a position where you are going to have an opportunity to win this game. To be completely honest with you, I can't see a scenario in which either team gets blown out, Clemson or South Carolina. I think this is going to come down to 6 to 8 plays. And last year, as we outlined in hour number 2 to what some people agree with me and some people disagree with me on, Clemson controlled the majority of the game. Clemson dominated the majority of the game. But South Carolina, if there were 8 plays that were needed to be made down the stretch, South Carolina made 7 of those 8 plays while Clemson only made 1 of those 8. Whoever makes the majority of the plays in crunch time is going to win the game, and I'm going to hope that it's Clemson this upcoming weekend, but it's hard to have confidence with the way that this season has played out. I'm going to go with the Tigers, maybe a little bit of wish casting here, 20-17, but for what it's worth, I don't think that this is a blowout either way, and I think that this is going to go right down to the wire in a classic rivalry type of matchup. Your thoughts?
You know, what's the old adage when you get into this weekend, when you get to rivalry games, you throw the records out the window?
Yeah.
Man, I'm throwing so much of what has occurred over this year out the window. Because this game just is, it's a one of one. It's its own season of its own. I got Clemson 27-24. And you know in this contest I have not backed Clemson. If anything, my most outspoken play has been to go against Clemson against the spread in the contest. But I look at the 2.5 points and I think it's more for Williams-Brice than it is for South Carolina, the football team. I think these teams are very, very equal. I just think, you know, with the kicker, I agree with what Jason said earlier, agree with what you said, that Clemson has the advantage in the kicking game. I think Hoosier can make them on the road. It'd be a very hostile environment. South Carolina is going to bring it because they know that they could send Clemson into a 500 record and they could end their year with as good of a 5-7 party as they can. But I, you know, we talked about it throughout the course of this show, and I've talked about it all season. I think Cade Klubnik is one of the only ones in that locker room who cares about how he is going to be viewed in Pickens County when he is 30, 35, and 40 years old. I think Cade Klubnik understands what his legacy is in a game like this. To go 2-0 as the starter in Williams-Brice means something. Give me Clemson to win by 3, 27-24.
Boom, I like it. I'm picking Clemson by 3 as well. People are asking for basketball predictions. Clemson should win in blowout fashion tonight, hoping for no sort of leftovers from Turkey Day and that everybody can handle business against Alabama A&M. And then you've got Western Carolina tonight in the women's basketball world. Hopefully the Tigers can handle business in the Bahamas as well. John, anything else before we get out of here for the week?
Eat a lot of fried chicken today. Go Tigers.
Eat a lot of fried chicken and go Tigers. I can get behind that. I think that's a good message that I can definitely
support. We've already
done
our part at Chick-fil-A of Clemson.
That is true. And for all your tailgating needs, ilovechickfilet.com. Folks, it's been a blast this regular season. John, great job as always. It's crazy that we're already here. Tigers are going to take care of business this upcoming weekend, at least we hope. Hoping to speak that into existence with a heated rivalry matchup 24 hours from right now, and to get a little bit more ready for it, William Quackenbush and Ben Milstead got you up next with Out of Bounds. See ya.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.